Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I'd like to involve you in this psalm, so I'm going to read it one more time. Now I'm going to read a line, and I want you to follow me with the line after it, okay? So here we go. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Good job. Now that's a psalm with meaning. And I think that's a good start for the Bible school, because the Bible school is all about meaning. It's about us being renewed and invigorated and just charged up and ready to go. I don't know if I introduced myself. I'm Brother Dan Richard from Chicago, Lombard, and I am really happy and excited to be at Bible school.
A great and eternal and all-wise God and Father in heaven, we, your children, would come to you now in prayer and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the love you have demonstrated in putting into our hearts to gather together here this week to praise, to honor, and glorify your great and holy name. We pray that you will live in us and be with us this week in all that we might do, that we might bring glory and honor to you. For in you we live and move and have our very being. And we thank you that you have given us life and health and all the good things in life, your word, the fellowship of the saints, and we have the privilege this week of sharing together that fellowship. May it be that we are an encouragement to one another, to help one another be strong in faith, in hope, and in love, that we might truly be your children. And we do thank you for the children we have here, and pray that this week might be a time to encourage each one to seek to live a life in harmony with you, that we might give to you the glory and honor that is your due. We would thank you for the servants we have this week, those who will be working to provide for us education and understanding and caring, that you will work in each one, that your word may resound in us, be reflected in us, in all that we do, that we might help one another on the road of life unto you. We pray then for our brother Ed this night, as he speaks to us, that he might speak your word faithfully and be an encouragement to strengthen us in body and in spirit and in all that we do. What a blessing it is that you have given us. And we pray for those who are not able to be with us. You know each one. You know all who seek you. Work in each one to know you and to walk in love together in harmony with you and with each other, that we might reflect in our life your will and your ways and your thoughts, that we might behave as you would have us in all that we do. We pray for those who may still be journeying here, that you will give them safe journey. We thank you that you have given us safe journey here, that we might be together and that we might sing praises to your great name. We commit now this school to you. Live in each one of us, we ask, Father and Lord Jesus, to direct us in thought and deed in the way of holiness, that all that we do might be to your glory and honor. And we do pray that our wait for you may not be long, for you to establish your reign of righteousness and peace on this earth, for it is a troubled world. Your servants suffer and struggle against sin, and we pray that you might come quickly to establish righteousness and peace on this earth, and may the earth be filled with your glory, even as the waters cover the sea. Accept of our thanks, we pray. Hear our prayer, we ask, and strengthen us to live, to bring glory and honor to your great name, in Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Our exhortation tonight is entitled 7 Days of Rejoicing by Brother Ed Carpenter. And we have a reading before this from John 7. So if you'd open with me to John 7, you can follow along. John 7, 1-24. And after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea, because the Jews were seeking to kill him. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may behold your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret, when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourselves to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. Jesus therefore said to them, "My time is not yet at hand, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet been fulfilled." And having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as it were in secret. The Jews therefore were seeking him at the feast and were saying, "Where is he?" And there was much grumbling among the multitudes concerning him. Some were saying, "He's a good man." Others were saying, "No, on the contrary, he leads the multitude astray." Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. The Jews therefore were marveling, saying, "How has this man become learned, having never been educated?" Jesus therefore answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you carries out the law? Why do you seek to kill me?" The multitude answered, saying, "You have a demon. Who seeks to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I did one deed, and you all marvel. On this account, Moses has given you circumcision, not because it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And on the Sabbath you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made an entire man well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." So with that, we look forward to hearing a good word of exhortation by Ed, titled 7 Days of Rejoicing.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Ed Carpenter from Kentucky. Now, I know many of you will have a hard time dealing with my accent, so I'm taking it upon myself to talk just a little bit slower tonight so that you might quite get everything that I'm saying. That was the last thing my wife said. Read slowly. Pause. Take your time. Usually that's not a problem with people from the South, because we have a tendency to draw out our syllables a bit. But hey, I'm from Kentucky. Pause. Okay, you might ask yourselves, why are we looking at this passage tonight? Why John 7? For many of you, you might not have a clue, but for me it became very apparent as I was asked to talk, because I have thought about this passage many times. The Feast of Tabernacles. It was at hand, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Booths. The Feast of Ingathering, of Harvest. The Feast of Rejoicing. Many of you don't know that I served as superintendent of the gathering in Ohio for several years, actually 4 years in a row. As superintendent, I stood up in front and led the whole thing. I did it all. I think this group has a pretty good outlook on things. They have a lot of committee members working. As superintendent, I got the full wrath of everyone who was displeased with what was not going to suit them. I understood that. It was my role, though, to uplift your spirits, make you rejoice, be happy at Bible school. And that's my role tonight, to keep you encouraged. It's interesting, though, when we think about the Lord's positioning on this. The Lord who took the children of Israel and said, "This is how I want you to rejoice. I want you to live in booths. I want you to get out of the comforts of your home for 7 days, and I want you to live in booths. And I want you to think about your fathers who had to go through the wilderness and suffer hardship. And I want you to take time and reflect upon that." You see, the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, happened in the 7th month, the 15th day. It was the time when the harvest had just come in. They had just finished. The Day of Atonement had just been completed. All was good with the nation, or should have been. It was a time of rejoicing. Many of you that are familiar with farming, surely in Illinois, right? When the crops are in, when the corn is in, when the soybean are in, it's a time of rejoicing. As I come to visit my daughter at Rockford, I think about these guys driving this tractor up and down, up and down, up and down, trying to get their crops in. And I'm like, that would drive me insane. I couldn't do it, night and day, night and day. So truly, that time of getting your harvest in was a rejoicing. But yet God said, "Look, it's over with. Now take time and think about it. Think about it." And that's what we're going to do this week. We're taking 7 days out of our life, out of the comforts of our home. Many of you have not experienced life in the South without air conditioning. You're going to experience some of it this week, perhaps. Let that be a test for you. Many of you will wonder, how in the world I'll be fed with 500 people going through the line. My thought was always, he that shall be first shall be last. Or is it, he that shall be last shall be first? Get to the last of the line. Let someone else be first. Many of you will have trouble with your neighbors, no doubt, making a little bit more noise than they should. But they're rejoicing. This is a time that you can suffer just a little bit for your brothers and sisters. So let's take that in mind as we look at this passage. Now, I've talked about the Feast of Booths, and actually we could go back to Leviticus 23 and we read where God instituted that festival. But I want us to just take a look right now, and I'm going to read from the Tanakh, Deuteronomy 16. It's dealing with the same thing, 14 through 16. You shall rejoice in your festival with your son and daughter, your male and female slave, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow in your communities. You shall hold the festival for the Lord your God 7 days in the place that the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all of your crops and all of your undertakings, and you shall have nothing but joy. 3 times a year, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the Feast of Weeks, and on the Feast of Booths, all of your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that He will choose. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed, but each with his own gift, according to the blessing that the Lord your God has bestowed upon you. Here I think that the Lord has established our worship criterion. I want us to think of that this week as we progress through these days of rejoicing. The Feast of Rejoicing was for the entire community, everyone. It was for the male and female slave, your son and daughter, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. All were to come together and share in this experience. Remember, though, that the Lord was setting conditions. He would choose the place. He would choose the blessings. But yet, everyone should not come empty-handed, not realizing the gift that God had given you. This worship criterion was instituted by God, and I think has not changed throughout the generations of man. And we will see it even continuing through the kingdom age, as we can look at Zechariah 14, and we see that it shall come to pass, at verse 16, that everyone that is left of all nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Zechariah tells us of the punishment of no rain and plagues for those nations that would not come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. But all this was the plan, that at the end, the ideal that all that would come and sacrifice should seethe or boil in the bows before the altar, so that the spirit of holiness unto the Lord prevails. This spirit of holiness sets the righteous conditions of no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. It was setting the condition, the right spirit, the right approach to God. That there should be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. This prophecy actually sets the backdrop for John 7. That's why his disciples, his brothers, were urging him to get on to Jerusalem. Really, they were telling him, put up or shut up. Right? If you call yourself the Messiah, then go show yourself to be the Messiah. Become king. They really didn't believe his claim. However, we see also in verse 1 that the Jews, the leadership at that time, had a different idea. They were ready to murder, to kill Jesus for breaking the Sabbath some 18 months earlier and for his claim of being the Son of God. As we gather this week, I think that probably there is as many agendas as there are faces. Each one of us comes with a different thought of what this week should mean. I'm going to share with you mine. I think that's safe. Mine is to lift up your spirits tonight. I thought that my brother who gave a prayer of encouragement that or to God that I would be able to encourage was right on the mark. It was my prayer as well. And hopefully I can set the tone for all of us this week that we might understand the true spirit we should have. Then after tonight, I want to take a seat somewhere toward the back. And then I want to sit back there, and with all the pressure that I can put forth, I want to put pressure on my other brothers that now I am able to sit back and listen to some of the best talks I've ever listened to at a Bible school. So, pressure directed, pressure given. With that, then I want to enjoy the company of my immediate family, as both girls are here with their families. And of course, I want to enjoy the rest of my family of God. I want to eat and sleep well with no hassles. I want to have good weather, no sickness, and bathroom availabilities. And most of all, a good cup of coffee in the morning. Now, I don't think this is expecting way too much, but that's my expectations. Now, you think about what yours are. But yet, is really this my week of dwelling in a booth? Is this really what God has asked me to do? To take myself out of my comfort zones and take time to reflect upon truly what He has blessed me with throughout the year. Again, I would ask you to think about what we read in Zechariah. God has asked us to take time and think about what He wants from us. He wants us to gather in His name. He wants us to boil a little bit in the pots. And truly, we might boil quite a bit this week. But that's all right. It's okay. Remember, those trials are just exhortations from the Lord. It's your booths this week. It's your trial this week. Rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. I think this is truly understanding God's will for us all. But yet we must understand in God's will that really time is His domain. 7 days out of 360, that would be the Jewish calendar. It was not a long time to dwell in a booth and reflect. It was a time of just taking oneself out of that good life that the Lord had provided you. I was going to go in tonight and explain how the Jewish still celebrate the Festival of Booths and how they go about doing it. We won't have time to do that. But I would ask you to maybe look into that and just think about what that festival has come to mean to the Jewish nation now. These exhortations from God should bring us into remembrance that He provides and protects, as we must learn that we should run with patience the race that is set before us. It's just 7 days. We can deal with everything I've talked about. We can deal with all these little things that might get on our nerves. Because only then is the peaceable fruit of righteousness yielded to those which are exercised thereby. We have to understand, God directs, He dictates blessing and chastening. Be patient in all things. But yet, don't you think it's our desires that leads to impatience? I think I'm a patient person. I know that I'm not, though. I think I am, but I'm not. Just ask some of the people that were in my way on the way up here. That's when I'm at my worst. I can honestly say that. But yet I can spend hours fiddling with just little something, trying to make it work, figure it out how it works. I have the patience to do that, but I don't have the patience to stand in line at Walmart. That's me. But this week, let us be patient in all things. Let us keep check our fleshly desires. Because you see, Jesus did set the right example for us when He says, "It's not my time. It's not time for me to be king. Yes, it's your time to go to the feast. It's your time. But it's not my time." 6 months later, it was His time as He entered into Jerusalem and the people were saying, "Hosea, Hosea." And they wanted Him to be king. And the Jews got their shot at Him and they murdered Him. But now was the time for reflection. Reflection of God's blessing. And Jesus went about that. He showed up at the temple preaching, unannounced. And He said in verse 16, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." This week we gather to hear the doctrine of God. Doctrine that we hope that are words that will come to life in our walk of faith. This, I think, is the key to our week. It's the key to our truth. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." This was the example. This was the testimony that Jesus was telling us. If I speak of myself, the truth will be known. But if I speak of God, that truth will be known as well. His disciples wanted glory, immediate glory, glory on earth. Actually, glory for themselves as they looked at the prophecy of Zechariah saying that that king would have rule over all nations. But Jesus said, that's not to be. We can go to John and we get that same idea in 1 John when he says, "Hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He has given us." And in 1 John 4, we're told to try the spirits, whether they are of God. "Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And brothers and sisters, that's how we know the difference between spirit of truth and spirit of error. Seeking one's glory or God's glory. That was the test Jesus offered as His testimony. That was the evidence, the truth of His doctrine. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. However, if one seeks God's glory, there can be, there will be no unrighteousness in that person." Their doctrine is true. I think we could spend a lot of time looking at the life of Christ and how he addressed that situation of having the true doctrine of God. But Philippians 2 will serve its purpose tonight, 6 through 8, in leading us in that conclusion. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's a passage we often read and thought about. We understand that there's no Trinitarian thought there. It was Jesus who knew that he was to become like God. And we can back up in that chapter and we understand that we too are to have the same like mind. We don't think it robbery to be like God. That's our commission. But it's God's glory that we revel in, not our own. And that is the difference. Yes, much harm has been done in our community of believers when the wrong glory is being served. Our witness of truth this week should be one of service to God by understanding service to others is the doctrine of God's glory. It is that part of the worship criterion that we looked at earlier. It involves bringing the whole household together, even the stranger, to the booth that we dwell. But then we say, what is service? What is service to others? How do we describe that? And immediately we would go, well, it's love. How do we love others? What is our true service to others? And there we go to verse 24 for consideration. And many of you have not considered it this way. So I'd ask you to take time, reflect this week upon what Christ tells us. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. All the comforts that each one of you brought this week, all the bags, all the luggage, everything you brought will not aid in your salvation. No matter how well you looked, how well you present yourself, it will not aid in your salvation. If you were to take all of your baggage, all of your gifts, all of the money in your pocket, and give it to someone else, it would not aid in their salvation. I could give the shirt off my back. The person receiving it would not be any better off in his salvation than before he had my shirt. What does that mean? How is it that we judge righteous judgment? How do we come to understand that? Well, we go to Hebrews and we look at 5:14. Strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If we truly love someone, as I have expressed to my daughters and to my grandchildren, we will do what's best for them. Not what they want, not what they desire, but what's best for them. What's best for them? Become in the image of God. And they only learn that through the same way that God's own Son learned, through the sufferings of obedience. It's through blessing. It's through chastening. It's through discipline. It's through tough love at times. It's through the pat on the back. But it's those things that we have to think about. That's what we're giving of ourselves. That's what Jesus was saying. And that's the example that he gave to us, wasn't it? The act of circumcision. The Jews were ready to kill him, weren't they not? For healing on the Sabbath? That's work. Can't do that. So he brings to their attention, what if the male child was born and his eighth day appeared or happened on the Sabbath? What should you do? Must the child wait? What's the answer? Well, because circumcision came before the law, circumcision came with Abraham, then that must precede the law. Thus, it's okay to circumcise on the eighth. That would be the logical conclusion, wouldn't it? You understand that? That makes it okay. That's justification. Well, then Jesus says, how is it that I healed a man, both physically and spiritually, that which circumcision was to point toward, and now you want to kill me for it? What's the answer? Well, that's judging righteous judgment. That's really understanding God's principle of salvation. Understanding what God wants from you. And that's what he came teaching and preaching. And that's what people couldn't understand. Love your enemies. Love those that despitefully use you. If a man asks for your coat, give him his cloak also. Give him your cloak also. If he asks you to walk a mile, walk too. That just doesn't compute, does it? We don't think that way. But that's what Christ was saying. Judge righteous judgment. Discern between what's good and what's bad. Isn't that what we're going to be asked to do in the kingdom? Each one of us must think about that this week. Judging righteous judgment. Is it best for me or is it best for my brother? Best for my sister. That's the spirit we bring. That's the spirit of truth that we should look for. As we proceed through the week, let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that 7 days of taking ourselves out of the world, living in a booth, reflecting upon what God's principle of worship is. This is what we should think about this week. I'd like to, for us just to stop and think about this. We didn't read this, but I just think it's very relevant to our thoughts tonight. In this Feast of Festivals, the Jewish tradition was that they would gather water. They would go outside Jerusalem and get water and bring it back into the temple and mix it with wine and then pour it upon the altar. And this was part of that prophecy that we read in Zechariah, where it was a plea for rain. Rain for next year's crops. But then again, it was also praying for the latter-day rain. We have examples of that. Really, it's a messianic thought process of God will bring blessing. And he will bring blessing through the Messiah. And so this was a procedure they did day after day. And in this week, what did Jesus tell them? If any man thirst, come drink the water that I can give. And wells of water will spring up. Isn't that the same message he gave to the woman at the well at Samaritan? Right? We often don't think about water springing up out of whose belly? It's our belly. Right? We drink and then we have water coming out from us. Not only that, they had a ceremony of lighting of the candelabras in the temple. I've read where they were 75 foot tall. And so they would light these candelabras on the eighth day, or some said throughout the week. But the whole city of Jerusalem would be glowing with these candelabras that they had lit up. And what does Jesus tell them on the eighth day? I am the light. And Jesus is telling them, I am that Messiah. But yet they wouldn't hear because they wanted something different. They wanted immediate satisfaction. So when we think about our growth this week, think about these three things that I've talked about. Water, light, and food. The bread of life. I didn't mention that, but earlier that's where many of Christ's disciples left him, right before the Feast of Tabernacles, when he said, you must eat my flesh. These are the words of age-lasting life, Peter said. Where else can we go? Any good farmer knows that in order to have growth, to have proper fruit, you have to have food, fertilizer. You have to have water, and you have to have light. Without any of these, the fruit will suffer. So let us think about that. As we progress toward the kingdom, it's our commission to produce fruit. Fruits of the Spirit, which are truly reflective of God's character. And that's what we're doing this week. Reflecting God's character in all the things that we say and do.
Thank you very much, Brother Ed. Thanks for setting the table, and thanks for putting the pressure on all the other speakers. I'm fortunate I'm not one, so I'm happy too. I'll sit with you. He reminded me of a passage when there was a feast with Hezekiah in his day, and I'm sure you remember this, that Hezekiah encouraged the people. It says, the sons of Israel present in Jerusalem celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days with great joy, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day after day with loud instruments to the Lord. Then Hezekiah spoke encouragingly to all the Levites. He exhorted them, who showed good insight in the things of the Lord. So they ate for the appointed 7 days, and sacrificing peace offerings and giving thanks to the Lord God of their fathers. And that's the time when they decided, this is too good of a thing, let's do it again. So they stayed for 14 days. And I know we can't do that in this day and age because we all got things to do. But we look forward to a great Bible school and a great 7 days. And thanks, Ed, for getting us started. Let's conclude tonight with the scene of, it's going to be hymn 119. So if you have the other one, cross that out. Tonight will be 119. Which is, sweet is the work, my God, my King, to praise thy name, give thanks and sing, to show thy love by morning light, and talk of all thy truth at night. It's hymn number 119, and then we'll have a closing prayer by Brother Norm Fidel.
Thank you. 7 full and wonderful days where the people were altogether joyful. There were the mums and dads, there were the sons and daughters, they had Levites, servants, foreigners, and the orphans and the widows, people who just needed assistance. What a feast. So thank you for the reminder of it this night, Father. Thank you for the story of how Jesus would use that as a background for him to teach to us. Because we are here this week too for a feast, all of us together. We too can have that same type of joyfulness when your word is the center of our here being and the fellowship and the discussions we will have. The blessings will be rich. We can count on that because of the theme that you've given us, that you have told us through Jeremiah, that when we come and pray to you, that you will hear us. And when we seek for you, we will find you. We have that assurance that you will restore us. So this Greek week at this Bible school, we are family and friends, and we have those who come long distances. Some even consider themselves foreigners, and all of us are sojourners on this earth. Father, we are here because this is the right and glorious place to be. So thank you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you, our Father, for your Son. Amen.